the song mentions that was just led. It says, I need thee every hour. Of course, meaning that we need God at all times. And a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that, maybe not thinking this, but attempting to handle things on our own when we're clearly not ready to, or when it's just not in our best interest to. And one of those times is when we have struggles. And, of course, it could be anything. Of course, I've talked before about how we're going to face struggles. That's part of our human life. And it's going to be especially noteworthy in our Christian lives as well. We might face some struggles just because of our Christianity. But the fact is that we're going to face struggles. But these struggles can actually be beneficial to us. So what I want to talk about is how we should handle getting through these struggles. And there are things we need to keep in mind when we think about struggles and problems. They could be of any kind. Now, I heard a lesson similar to this that the last half of this lesson will strongly reflect. Brother Ron Scott, he had given, I guess, some of these things up at Mount Eagle. He also gave some of it at his meeting over in Douglasville. And I was there that night to hear this, and he brought some things to my attention I had never thought of. So I incorporated a lot of those into these as well. So first I want to go over some things to remember, things we need to keep in mind when we think about struggles, when we think about problems that we face. And again, they can be anything. It could be with our personal lives, it could be with our family, it could be with our job, it could be struggling with our own temptations. Whatever it might be, maybe we're being mistreated by somebody, bullying or whatever. Everyone in here has at some point, if they're not already, struggled with something. And a lot of us in here are probably currently going through some sort of problem. And they could be of all different sorts of levels. But the fact is, everyone has problems. And it could be very minor. It could just be that we've got a test coming up in school, we've got something due at work, and maybe that takes up a little bit of our time and it stresses us. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not as important as, say, maybe a family crumbling. Okay, maybe a death in the family, or friends we have in bad health. Those might be our problems. But they can be of any level, but everybody goes through these problems. And one thing we make a mistake of thinking is that we get into that, oh, poor little old me mentality. And even though we know it's not true, you kind of see yourself from time to time going, oh, why me? It's always me. It would always be me who gets stuck in this situation, who always gets faced with this sort of problem. And a lot of times we forget that, you know, the pain and suffering that we might go through is just common to everyone. Everyone goes through them. We need to be aware of that. And if you look in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Okay, the temptations that we face, the trials that we face, the pain, the heartache, any suffering we might come across, any stress we might come across, is nothing unusual. Okay, someone else, likely someone in the same building here, has gone through the same kind of problems we have. The same temptations that we'll be faced with, or the struggles getting over them, the struggles getting through them, is not unusual to you. And if you look in Matthew 4, I'm not going to read over the whole passage here, but it's just mentioning here, at the beginning of Matthew 4, about Jesus going up to be tempted by the devil. Now remember that the devil tempted him with all three things that we're going to be tempted with in our lifetimes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The devil presented all three of those things in some form to Jesus, and Jesus, of course, did not give in to these temptations. Now, the problems that we might face today might be a little bit different in that, of course, during those times there was no TV, there was no internet, so the medium is different, but still, the same sins that existed back then still exist today. They're going to be either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. It's going to come to us in one of those forms. And if we think, oh, I struggle with this temptation, nobody else knows what it's like to struggle with this vice, someone does. And we have an example here of somebody, Jesus, having perfectly gone through these. So whatever troubles, whatever trials we come in, you know, come across, they're not unique to us. So we got to get out of that, you know, oh, poor little old me mentality. We're not the only ones that go through problems. The second thing to remember is that getting through these struggles is actually beneficial to us. It helps us grow. Okay? Especially as Christians. Now, so it's been several months, but Brother Lee told me of the story of a man who found a cocoon thing. I want to make sure I tell it right. He found a cocoon, and a caterpillar, of course, goes through metamorphosis in this cocoon and will come out a butterfly. And so he realized that this caterpillar, now turning into a butterfly, was trying to come out of the cocoon, and he was struggling. And so to make it easier, the man had kind of helped open up the hole and helped the butterfly come out of the cocoon. But as the end result, the butterfly, because the butterfly didn't go through that struggle himself of getting out of the cocoon, he did not develop the necessary strength to be able to fly. So that struggle of getting out of the cocoon is actually necessary for the butterfly to have the strength to fly later on. So likewise, a lot of struggles we go through are what we'd call growing pains. Okay, both in our personal life, you remember going through some hard lessons that you just had to learn. You know, you learn more from your mistakes than your successes. Okay, I've done plenty of mistakes. You see, you know, a young kid, they probably have to touch a hot stove once to learn not to do it again. Okay, it's one thing to hear, no, that's really hot, don't touch it, it's going to hurt. But when they actually touch it themselves and find out, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. So some of these pains we go through is necessary for us as we get older. That's why parents discipline their children in the first place. It's not fun getting it when you're little, but when you grow up, you know, it didn't take me too long to realize I deserved every one I got, probably some more, though there's a few instances I still question as to why I got them. But for the most part, I got every one I deserved. And more or less, I'm thankful for it. You know, when you're getting the spanking, it's not fun. But when you grow up, you realize what the point was. You realize I was to learn a lesson out of this, and, you know, I learned why I don't need to do this, why I got punished for it. And, of course, this goes into our Christianity as well. We will get, you know, symbolically burned on the hand or symbolically get a spanking, but we learn something from it. It helps us maybe not commit that same sin again or learn to handle a situation better. But either way, it's necessary for our growth. If you look what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." So he mentions here the tribulations, the problems, the struggles that you're going to go through is just the beginning of a chain of growth for you. Okay, getting through that, whether you get, you know, knocked on your rear or whether you come through it successfully, that struggle, whatever you went through, is necessary for you to grow as a Christian. So the next thing to remember is that when we're not the ones struggling, it seems easier to see the solution. And what I mean here is that you know, we have a friend or family member or, you know, someone here in the congregation that is going through a problem. When you're not stuck in the middle of it, the solution seems clear to you, doesn't it? All this person's got to do is just stop doing this or start doing this or they need to do this. That's the clear solution. It's a lot easier when you're not in the middle of it. But also remember that when you're the one who is in the middle of it, it's a lot harder to take advice. So we need to be aware of that. When we're trying to help somebody through a struggle, remember that when you're the one in the middle of it, it's a little bit harder to take advice. You're a little more stubborn about it. And also, when you're in the middle of a struggle, and these people keep trying to give you solutions, they probably have pretty good insight to it because they're not in the middle of it. They're able to see that solution a little clearer than you are. So basically, we got to remember to keep in mind that when we try to help somebody, they're going to be a little stubborn about it. But when we're the ones people are trying to help, we need to not be so stubborn. And remember, they're removed from the situation. They probably have some good insight into this because, you know, they're not in the middle of it. And at the same time, we've got to learn to take advice from others, especially those who have been down the road before. There's some Chinese proverb, I forget how it goes, but it basically says, it's common sense, it says, the best way to find out about where you're going is to ask somebody who's returning from that way. So, you know, if we're struggling with something, there's somebody who's already been through that problem before, and if they get advice to give us, the wise thing is to listen. Okay, we have the Bible, which people there in the New Testament, they didn't have it the way we have it. We have it really nice. We have the whole Bible in its entirety to us. And the Old Testament especially is filled with examples of people making mistakes. And the wisest thing to do would be to remember their mistakes and just not make them ourselves. But we tend not to do that. You know, for some reason we tend to think, well, that won't happen to me, or it's different. And what we end up doing is making the same mistake ourselves. And then we finally learn from it. But still, for the most part, whether it's an example we see from the Bible or a parent, someone in the church who has been down that road before, they are only trying to help. They know. They know what it's like. And so we should listen to that advice. Solomon writes in Proverbs about taking advice. He says in Proverbs 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And then in Proverbs 12:15, he writes, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So he points out what we just said. A lot of times we tend to be stubborn on receiving this advice, but it would be wise to listen to it, especially those who have been down the road before. And that's just something we, you know, especially the younger we are, the harder it is. You hear, especially younger teens, I guess, those tween years or whatever, they seem to complain about parents. Oh, they don't understand. They're trying to tell me what to do. Your parents have been that age before as well. They remember what it's like. That advice, those instructions they're giving you is for your own good, typically. And, of course, as we get older, we realize that. But it takes a while to kind of come to that point. Likewise, when we get older, there's still people who are more experienced than we are, who've gone through more problems than we have. When they try to give us advice, it would be wise if we listened. So the final thing to remember is that when we struggle, when we go through these problems, we do what's counterproductive. We actually tend to do the opposite of what we should be doing instead. And I'm going to get into that here in a second. But and you'll see what I mean, but for some reason we have trouble and we get into this mode. And whatever this mode is, it's counterproductive to getting out of the problem. It's kind of like I've messed up, or I'm struggling with something, or I'm really depressed, whatever it is. And we tend to do things that only make that situation worse, that make the condition work, that make our sadness deeper, that make our frustration deeper. And we stop doing the things that would help pull us out. We get away from doing them, and those are things we need to be doing. And that's what we're going to look at in these steps to getting out of these problems and these struggles. And it's all going to come from Philippians 4. So this is a passage we're pretty well familiar with, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. And it was here that I kind of picked up on some things that Brother Ron Scott was pointing out. He points out four steps in this passage that show us not just really how to pull ourselves out of struggles, but it's what we should always do. This should kind of be a 24-hour mindset here. But these are things that we should definitely do when we are going through these problems, when we are depressed, when we are frustrated and struggling with something. These are things we should do. And again, like I said, one thing to remember is we tend not to do these things right when we need to do them the most. It doesn't make sense, but that's what we seem to do a lot of times as humans. So in verse 4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. So again, this isn't just for when we have a problem, but it should be all the time as Christians. Step 1 here is to worship God. And of course, we should remember that this should fuel all of our actions and all of our decisions. Should I take this job here? Should I go to this place? Should I do this with this person? You know, whatever decision we might have to make, we got to remember, what does God want me to do? Which one is going to please God? Is what I'm going to do next, is this going to displease God? So this should fuel a lot of our decisions and our actions. But again, this should especially be prevalent. We should not get away from this when we go through these struggles. And again, I'm just using one big umbrella term for struggle here. It could be some depression, some sadness you're going through. You may have suffered loss. You could just be miserable at work. You could have a tough family situation going on. Your health might be bad. Whatever it is, that's what I'm defining as a struggle here. We need to especially remember to keep worshiping God. Again, when we get in that kind of mode, we just kind of sink into ourselves, and we tend to get away from worshiping God. And a lot of times, maybe we get physically sick as a result. A lot of people don't realize it, but your mind can make you physically sick. Okay, you can convince yourself to be sick. And we'll get in such a sad stage that we may have a problem on our mind so much we feel like, I'm too busy to go to services. When in fact, that's probably what we need to be doing instead. So we can't get away from worshiping God. And, you know, when we have a problem on our mind, we seem to dwell on that problem over and over and just play it through in our head over and over. I'll try to come up with a solution or replay what went down. Or just keep thinking about how bad it makes us feel. And those aren't the things that need to be stuck in our mind. Okay, verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." That shows us step 2. To preach God. To show your relationship with God through our actions. And we remember that God showed us through love. There's this, everything is connected by love here. We have hope of salvation because of the love that God has for us. Love and mercy that He sent His only Son to die on the cross for us. And through that love, we should display that love to all other people. Okay? And then when people see that love, they see that relationship between us and God. And our actions should show that. You know, when we get into this struggle, one thing that helps you get your mind off things is to start doing other things. Okay? Some sort of distraction. Get your mind off of your problem. And what's better than to try to, whether it's through your actions or through your words, spread the message of God. This could be talking to other people about it, trying to help somebody else. It's an interesting thing. One way to get through your problem is to try to help other people with problems. Then verse 6 here in Philippians 4 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that shows us step 3, which is to pray. Now I'll admit this is where I end up doing what's counterproductive most of the time. It makes sense that when we have a problem, we need to pray about it. But, you know, again, when we have a problem, we seem to start focusing on the problem, what decision we should make. And the common sense thing is to pray to God about it. And we've been so wrapped up in thinking about the problem, we've neglected to pray. We've neglected to do the solution. And as I spent about half the trip up here doing, I like to come home on weekends and complain about the work week to my mother. You know, I not that I won't complain about it up during the week, but you know, there's no one that can handle your complaints quite like your mother. So I'll complain to her for a good bit, and sometimes there's a decision I might need to make, or I'm just struggling with something in general, and you know, she'll say, "Well, have you prayed about it?" It's like, huh. The one thing that's probably the most beneficial to coming to a decision, or the most beneficial to getting out of this problem, is what I have neglected to do. You know, I've prayed about things I'm thankful for and asking for forgiveness for things, but I neglect to actually bring forward the problem in my prayers. So sometimes we tend to do that. What could be a solution is what we tend to get away from. Again, it just goes to show how counterproductive we can be. And one thing that was interesting that Brother Ron Scott brought up when he was talking about this was we don't have to have a solution to our problem in order to pray about it. And I thought about that for a while, and I realized that when we pray about a problem, we tend to have an outcome we would like already in mind. And so when we pray, you know, asking for help about this problem, we don't just purely ask for help. We don't oftentimes think, I have no idea what to do, but here's my problem. We already work on coming up with a solution, and we pray for that solution. Help this outcome to happen. And of course, we know that God answers all prayers. It's just that sometimes the answer is no, or not now, or yes. But we don't know what's good for us. We certainly don't know better than God. God knows what we need. And the answer, the outcome of our situation is going to be what we kind of need. But we don't know what that is. But for some reason, we tend to think we need to come up with the solution before we pray for it. What's wrong with just presenting the problem before God? God, I have this problem. And that's it. When you think about, we think about praying, and one of the first things that come to mind might be something like Daniel praying. We think about a lot of these characters we read about in the Old Testament on their knees, spending a lot of time praying, intense prayers. But think about the most honest, most heartfelt prayers that have ever been prayed. Probably have been, you think about the soldiers in the Old Testament. They prayed in the battlefield, we know. Probably didn't go where they stopped in the middle of the battle and knelt down and prayed. It probably went where people are dying to them left and right, and they're praying, just, please God, help me. Just asking for help. And you know that we've had prayers that have been, you know, that quick and short, because some emergency's happening, something instant, and we just ask for help. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. So when we have a problem, when we're struggling with something, we don't have to come up with the solution, because we're human and we tend to get ourselves into more trouble. What we need to do is just present the problem before God. And you've probably noticed that when you have prayed about something, you do feel somewhat of a burden lifted off your shoulders. Because the Creator of all, the one who's created us and the world that we live in, there's nothing more powerful than God. We've just handed our problem off to Him. Ask for help. I think our problem's in good hands. So there's nothing wrong with just asking for help. God, here's my problem. Help me with it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the solution is, but help me with it. Nothing wrong with praying like that. But again, and it may just be me, but whenever I get in these struggles, I do tend to forget to do that, which is counterproductive. There's a show I saw one time, and this character, he's not bright. And he was at a building for police training or something, and his friends find out that he accidentally set the building on fire. And they asked him, how did you end up setting the police academy on fire? And he said, well, I was practicing with my flare gun. And I shot the flare into the bleachers just to practice, and it caught on fire. And they said, so that's how it burned up. He said, well, not really. He said, you know how they say fight fire with fire? I loaded another flare in there and shot it at the fire. And he said, that made it worse. And so I shot a flare up into the roof so people would notice and come help. But it didn't make it out, and it just set the roof on fire. That's what we tend to do. There's a solution to our problem, but we think, oh, quick, let me make it worse. Let me not pray about it. Okay, that's not what we're thinking, but that's what we tend to do. We tend to just shoot another flare at the first one. So the very things that would help us get out of this, we forget to do in the midst of these problems. Finally, here in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, this is the verse from this passage that we're most familiar with. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, the last step here is to get your mind off of your problem. And he says, basically, whatever temptation, whatever trial, whatever struggle, depression, whatever you're going through, if you've gone through these first three steps, if you've not forgotten to worship God, if you two ties into four, getting your mind off of your problem by maybe helping others, by thinking about ways you can spread the word, by studying it, more yourself, and then by three, praying about it, your problem's being handled. Okay, you've presented it before God. There's some way out of it on the way. You're going to get out of your depression. You're going to get over your sadness. Whatever decision you got to make will be made. And years down the road, you'll probably realize why the outcome was the outcome. But after you've gone through those steps, you just need to get your mind off of your problem and get it on things that fulfill this list. Things that are true, honest, pure, lovely, good report. And again, it might be things like just spending more time reading the Bible. Could be time thinking about all the blessings you do have. This is not a bad exercise to try when something goes bad. Instead of focusing on the bad, think of all the things that have gone right. Now, when you get a flat tire, all you can think about is, oh, this is, a big mess to have to deal with. Got a flat tire. I'm either going to have to change it myself, or I'm going to have to, call AAA and wait on them forever to come. All we think about is things like that, but how fortunate were we, how blessed were we to afford a vehicle to travel in the first place? To be able to have a tire to blow out in the first place. When we lose electricity, we lose our minds. But you realize how blessed we are to have it in the first place? There are entire nations that do not have this. We're hungry. We're focused on how angry we are that we're hungry. But how blessed are we for the other dozen meals we've already had during the week? We miss one meal and we go bonkers. There are people out there who don't eat for days on end and have no idea if they ever will eat again. So we should focus on the things we should be thankful for. Because again, we do things that are counterproductive to getting out of our problem, to getting over our struggle. But all we tend to focus on is how much we're suffering. And we forget how good we've got it. So when we go through these struggles, just summing it up, we got to remember to continue to worship God. The decisions we make, the actions we take, the life we live, it's got to reflect that we're thinking about what would please God. What would Jesus do? We need to show our relationship with God through the words we say, the actions we do. We've got to preach the word. Okay, and by preaching the word, that doesn't always mean just verbally going up to somebody and talking about it. They could see us studying, they could see us just doing something that they're not used to seeing. got to praying. And praying can just be asking for help without even knowing the way out of your problem. If we just present the problem before God, that problem's in the best hands possible. And then we got to get our mind off of that problem. Focusing on it's not going to do any good. And if we just continue to dwell on that problem, we kind of mess up number one. Okay, this is like rinse and repeat, like you see on shampoo bottles or whatever. We got to keep going through this. If we do not take our mind off the problem, we're probably not going to remember to worship God or to pray. But if we go through those first three steps and get our mind off of our problem, we can make it through that. Now again, this isn't just unique to when we do struggle with something. We should do these things just in our daily life. We don't need to become those that maybe pray only when we do have a problem. We should always be thankful. We should always be praying. I should always be worshiping God. But it just so happens that we tend to get away from a lot of this when we do have problems. When in fact, staying on these things are what would help us through the problem. So again, everybody struggles. If not all of us, probably half of us in here at least, have something we're struggling with right now. And again, it might be minor, might be something little. Maybe we just are racking our mind on what to choose to eat for lunch. But maybe there's some of us in here are suffering with loss from friends or family. Maybe we're real depressed. Maybe we've got a tough situation at school or work. But everybody struggles at one time or another. But the most important thing to remember is to continue to be a Christian during these struggles. But these are necessary for our growth. Maybe one day we'll be able to help somebody else going through the same problem. It just may be as stubborn as we were when we went through that problem. But it's something that's pertinent to all of us because we all have it. So that's all I have, and hopefully you could gain something from this. Turn the service back over to the brethren.